Good morning. My name is Kelly Larson, the pastor here at Cornerstone, and I want to welcome you if you are visiting with us. We are working through the second set of a series. I don't know if you call that a series or not. It's a pair on Gospel Plus. Last week we talked about Gospel Plus Faith, and this week we're going to be talking about Gospel Plus Community. And actually, it is maybe a series because when Tammy and I return from our vacation, we're going to do one more in this series on Gospel Plus Ministry. So in the meantime, Roger Baker will be filling the pulpit for me, and I'm so grateful to have him here and so grateful that he's able to do that, and so be praying for him as he's preparing. We're going to be looking together at Philippians, so if you have a Bible, if you want to turn to the letter of Paul, to the church in Philippi or Philippians. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the chairs around you. You can grab one of those, and if you don't have a Bible, you can actually take one of those as our gift to you. We're looking particularly this morning at several passages in chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, where Paul writes this. He says, "If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." Before we look together into this passage and talk about this Gospel Plus community, let's go to the Lord and plead for his help. Father, I want to ask you right now that you would grant me your help. I need it. Lord, I would ask that you would grant all of us your help. We need it. Holy Spirit, we know that you are present here, that you're real, and that you're doing a work. Would you manifest that work among us? And would you take this word that belongs to you, and would you apply it and impress it upon our souls this morning? And Lord, would you use it to lead us yet further along in our conformity to you? Lord, I pray for those that don't know you here this morning, may you use this message to awaken their souls. For those that do, Lord, would you allow it, Lord, to correct and to encourage and to uplift? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to, before we begin, I want to actually look at a few case studies, just look at some individuals together and see if you can find yourself somewhere in these stories. Start with Jimmy. He's a 15-year-old boy. Jimmy enjoys art and music, and he wants to be a pilot, but he's struggling in school and with friends, and he's spending increasing quantities of time in his room alone. Then we have Jill. She's a 26-year-old college graduate who's working as a marketing analyst, and she likes her job, but she's lonely, and she longs to be married and is finding distraction by binging on Netflix. We have Anna, who's a 34-year-old woman. She's married. She's got three children. She's pregnant. She's homeschooling her two older kids, but she feels disorganized and discouraged. She's tired. She feels ashamed. She's irritable. And you have Len. He's a 41-year-old divorced man who's got partial custody of three teenagers. He's an attorney. He loves fantasy football, but has no time for his friends, and he's frustrated with his ex-wife's demands and his managing partner's expectations, and he feels like he's barely hanging on. And then you have Jerry and Joan. They're 61 and 63. They've been married for 41 rocky years, and they're struggling now with conflict and guilt over children. They have two who are living, a son who's killed in a motorcycle accident. Their six grandchildren are 8 hours away in different directions, and finances are stretched thin, and health issues and retirement are looming. Where do you fit? What are you going through? What's your life story? What kind of community will each of those people look for? What kind of community will those people who are in those circumstances be hungry for? What kind of community do they need? And to push this out to you personally, what kind of community are you looking for? What kind of community do you need? Here's the big idea for this morning's message. We are at risk of contenting ourselves with a gospel plus community in which our relationships are forged and maintained by natural connections and not by supernatural realities. We are at risk of becoming content and being okay with a community that has the gospel. But there's a plus, and that plus that actually forges and maintains that community is natural. It's a natural connection, and it's not forged and maintained by something that is a supernatural reality. So let's talk about this, but we need to begin with an underlying truth here. An underlying truth that says this: Christian community is supernatural community. I think that those who are believers, I think we know this, but we don't often stop and think about it. Christian community, that is a community that is truly Christian, is in fact a supernatural community. It has been formed, it's forged and maintained by something that is not just natural, but is supernatural. That is, God does it. It is fundamentally different from worldly community in that it is made possible and made helpful only by supernatural means. So let's talk about the gospel plus community. We want to actually get rid of the plus, and we want to have gospel community, right? So let's talk about what are some of the natural connections that forge and maintain a gospel plus community. Okay, let's talk about, and we're going to just talk together just about circumstances. We're going to look into the word here a little bit later. I just want to go through some natural connections that forge and maintain a gospel plus community. But I want to start with a warning label here, okay? It's like a Surgeon General's warning, right? So I want to make sure that we all understand what is about to happen here. So here's the warning. None of the following connections are sinful or bad in themselves, but they are all natural, temporal, and powerless to bring healing to the soul. So the things that we're going to talk about now, these plus aspects of the gospel plus community, none of these things are sinful. None of these things are bad. In fact, there are ways in which these things can be helpful to us, but in and of themselves, they are temporal, they are natural, and they are powerless to bring healing to the soul. So let's look. What are these natural connections? First, the gospel plus your personality. Gospel plus your personality. So in other words, you're looking for that person like you. The introvert who's like you, an introvert, or the extrovert like you who's an extrovert, or the bubbly personality or this personality, and I'm looking for people like me. Yes, the gospel's there, but I'm looking for the gospel plus someone like me. And I want to form my community around personality. Or there's the gospel plus your project. In other words, let's join together on a task. We have a job to do, a project to carry out, and we're going to form a community around the things that we do. Let's go build a house together. Let's go do this together. Let's go do that together. And we're going to form the community around that project or around projects. Now remember, those things aren't inherently bad or sinful. In fact, they can be good. But in and of themselves, they cannot bring hope and healing to the soul. What about the gospel plus your problem? Right? You have a problem. You have some issue. Some problem. And so you form your community around your problem. Other people that have your problem. Who has my problem? I want to get around the people with my problem. And I can form my community around my problem. Or there's the gospel plus your past. Listen, I have amazing respect for veterans who have served overseas. And there's actually value in those veterans gathering together in community. But is that what we forge and maintain the community on? Something in my past, some shared experience. I got a college buddy. Oh, my college friends, we've got a shared past together and we form our community around it. Or there's the gospel plus your place. your place in life, that is, your stage of life. You're a mom with three kids. You're a single dad. You're a single woman. You're fill in the blank. This is your stage of life. You're an empty nester. You're whatever it is. And you form your community around your stage of life, your place in life. And that's what forges it and maintains it. Or your gospel plus your passion. Interests. What interests you? And do you forge your community around the things that interest you? So we forge our community around, I say a quilting club because I have a sister-in-law who is a very good quilter and she loves to quilt and she has a community. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's good things about that, right? But you understand that when we're looking to form community, forge it and maintain it around these things are natural temporal connections. These things are powerless in and of themselves to bring hope and healing to your soul. These are the temptations that we have to form a community around these gospel plus. Yes, okay, the gospel's there, right? I would argue that this is actually where much of the church is going, where we have formed our community of faith in a gospel plus manner, where we're finding the connection points and forging the community and the connection points, and then we seek to insert the gospel. Back to our case studies, those Jimmy and these people we were talking about. What do those people share in common? They're all in different life stages. They're all in different circumstances. They all come from wide variety of backgrounds. And we would look at that from the world's perspective and say, there's no commonality here. There's nothing to forge a community amongst these people. They're different from one another. Nothing will bring them together. But what do they share in common? Well, they've all been hurt and sinned against, haven't they? They've all failed at something, haven't they? They've all have regrets, don't they? They all have or will experience loss. They all have or will be surprised, even shocked by life. They're all going to suffer. They're all going to suffer. They're all going to face death. Others and their own. You see, they're bound together, aren't they? I want you to look around the room. You are bound in these ways with everyone around you in this room. Every one of these things is true of every other person in this room. You're bound to them in these ways. You share in common these things. What do they all need? What do we need? They all need community. But they need community forged and maintained by supernatural realities, powerful enough to bring lasting help and healing to their souls. That's what they need. They don't need a quilting club, as good as that is. They don't need a group. They need a community. A community forged and maintained by something that goes beyond the natural, temporal things of this world. That forged is forged by a supernatural power and reality. They need gospel community. That's what they need. They need gospel community, and that's what we are seeking and striving to fan the flames on here at Cornerstone. Gospel community. Well, what is the gospel community? What are the supernatural realities that forge and maintain gospel community? That's the question we need to ask. What are these supernatural realities that will forge and maintain, actually have forged and maintain gospel community? Well, we find them in Paul's writings in Philippians chapter 2, 1 and 2. If, therefore, there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And in here we can find realities that exist for every believer. These are realities. He actually is intended to say, since there is. I know that translation is if there is any, but it would be if there is any and there is, right? This is a reality. Since there is encouragement in Christ, since there is consolation of love, since there is fellowship of the Spirit, and since there is affection and compassion. He's holding out us to us these things that are realities. These are things that are. If there is any, and there is, then. So what are these realities? Let's lean into them. What are these realities? Well, first, there is a supernatural encouragement in Christ. Now listen, I want you to hear me. We tend to think of encouragement in Christ and we forget the supernatural. The encouragement that we have in Christ doesn't come from me to you. It comes from the Spirit of God to you. And it's found in Him. It's found in Christ. We see that since therefore there is what? There is what? Encouragement in Christ. There is a supernatural encouragement that is available to everyone who is in Christ. If you have been united to Christ, He actually looks upon you and thinks upon you and has brought you into union with Him in such a way that if you understand that union with Him, it'll lift your head. It'll give you the ability to overcome and overlook fear and loneliness. You look at Christ, you're in Him. In every believer, Every believer. Can I say it one more time? Every believer is in Christ. Therefore, every believer has an encouragement that comes from Him. In the inevitable troubles of the world, the only reality that has the lasting power to lift the downcast soul is the reality of the unbreakable union with Christ. All the troubles that you're dealing with in life and all the things that you will anticipate. Listen, if you're forging a gospel plus community, if you're forging a community around these other things, where will those other things be? How will those other things come into your life to do that which only Christ can do? To lift up your soul. And not only that, but it's in this community because I understand that I'm in Christ and that I have this encouragement that I can then share it with you. You know what that means? I'm 53. That means I have something of amazing value to say and to contribute to a 15-year-old who's struggling. We share in common something that goes beyond our age. Supernatural encouragement in Christ. But we also share in a supernatural comfort from love. Paul says, since there is consolation of love, that is supernatural comfort to console someone. Well, when do you need consolation? When do you need comfort? When you're struggling. When life is hard. You know when that is? Most of the time. Most of the time. And where does that consolation come from? Where does that comfort come from? From the love of God. I am comforted by the reality that there is this one who loves me. And He loves me to the uttermost. You've likely experienced, or you long to experience, the comfort that comes from love. When you've been hurting, when you've been downcast, I imagine many of us here have actually experienced the comfort that comes from someone who loves you, a mother, a father, a friend, someone? And if you haven't, I know you long for it. I know that you long for that comfort that only comes through love. But only believers can know and share the infinite, unqualified love of God. Your quilting club doesn't do that for you. Your motorcycle group doesn't do that for you. Your share group doesn't do that for you, that is, unless they're bringing the comfort of Christ. See, all of those things, they're good. There's nothing wrong with those things. I am not saying don't participate in a quilting club. If you're part of a quilting club, do not hear me say you need to quit. Keep in your quilting club, but let's not add the quilting club to the gospel community. Let's not add it there as an essential component. Let's not add it there as that which forges and maintains it. Supernatural comfort, supernatural participation in the Spirit. Supernatural participation in the Spirit. He says, since there is fellowship of the Spirit, that word fellowship is a sharing in or a participation in. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, if we are in Him, you and I actually have a shared participation in the Spirit of God. You and I all have, this is a reality that you and I participate together in the Spirit. He's in you, He's in me. He's the one who brought you to life through regeneration. That life that you have as a believer is a life brought about by the Spirit of God, and it's shared by everyone who is in Him. We all have this fellowship of the Spirit. Every believer is indwelled by the same Holy Spirit who is at work in each of one of us to accomplish the same purposes. Do you have goals? Do you have aspirations for your life? Are you thinking you want to share or form a community around those interests and those goals and those projects? Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit who indwells you indwells me and everyone else in this room who's a believer. And He is at work to accomplish the same thing in you that He's accomplishing in me, and for the same reasons that He's doing it. In me, He's doing it for you. We share in this participation in the Holy Spirit. This fellowship of the Spirit, the same Spirit, Paul goes on and he says, being of the same mind. Why same mind? Same Spirit, same mind. Right? In fact, he intentionally uses this repetition of the same, the same, the same, one, as we'll see. Same mind, that same mind is as a result of the fellowship of the Spirit that every believer has. Same mind, maintaining the same love, same Spirit empowered love. Where will your love for one another come from? Where will your ability to even receive the love of Christ come from? The same Spirit who indwells you, who indwells me. United in spirit, that is, same Spirit, same attitude. And actually, the literal translation there is together in soul. We're together in a soul. Your soul, my soul, as believers, we're united. We're in fellowship with one another. We're connected. And it doesn't matter whether you're married or not, whether you have children or not, whether they're homeschooled or not. Intent on one purpose. Same Spirit, same goals. Listen, brothers and sisters, as a church, we have one goal. And that one goal encompasses all of us. We have one shared goal, one mission, one project, one work to do. Exalt Jesus. And we may do that differently, and there may be different aspects of it, but we all share that one thing. And it doesn't matter whether you're 16 or 66. So what are these realities? Encouragement in Christ, supernatural comfort from love, supernatural participation in the Spirit, and supernatural reception of affection and compassion. A supernatural ability to receive and to live in affection and compassion. He says, since there is affection and compassion, the affection of God, His love of you, His mercy and His compassion for you are gifts to you and every believer. This is a theme of all of Scripture, isn't it? A theme of all of Scripture that those who are the Lord's, that He pours out His tenderness and His mercy and His compassion and His love, and we share in that together. Christ has poured out tenderness and compassion upon His people, and the Spirit is at work to impress these realities upon your soul. Right now, I believe that the Spirit of God is at work among us and in us to take His powerful hand and take the tenderness of Jesus Christ and the love of Christ and the compassion and mercy and to just press it into my soul, into yours. Say, you're loved. Mercy for you. Tenderness for you. The Spirit is at work doing that regardless of whether you feel it right now or not. He's doing it. He's doing it. Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Every believer shares in this amazing hope because the love of God has been poured out upon every believer and is impressed there by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:4-6, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, His tender compassion, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by what? By the Holy Spirit who He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The tenderness, the compassion, the love, the mercy of Christ is yours. It's all of ours. And the Holy Spirit is at work to impress it upon your soul. Not only have you received the tenderness and compassion of Christ, but you've been called to share it with others. And that's where community comes in. Jesus didn't just impress. The Holy Spirit is not at work to impress these things upon your soul so that you can hoard these gifts of Christ, but so that rather you might share them, that you might take these precious gifts of Christ and turn to your sister or to your brother or to your friend who is hurting and say, here, let me share with you what I have. Let me give to you a little bit of what I've received. Community that is built on the gospel of Christ. Gospel community. Well, let's lean in, though. So how can you intentionally pursue that community? How can you intentionally pursue gospel community? And let's press in just a little bit more. How can you? Don't think, listen, I know, I'm like you. I've sat in lots of sermons myself. And you know what I'm tempted to do? Oh, this would really be good for so-and-so. I wish Jill were here. Stop right now. You. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. But with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, there is in this word to us a call. It's a call to repent. It's a call to repentance. What is repentance? Well, repentance is when I am thinking and living in this way, and the Holy Spirit, through His word, awakens my mind to understand that that way is not right. Repentance is to say, I need to change what I'm believing, what I'm thinking. I no longer am going to believe that. I'm no longer going to think that. And as a result of changing my mind and my heart about those things, I'm actually going to change what I do. And I'm going to turn and change. And this is what every believer is called to. Ongoing repentance. Because you and I alike are conformed to this world in one way or another. Listen, I've had to wrestle down in my own heart. Kelly, where's the gospel plus in your life? So let's look at this together. How you pursue community? Supernaturally turn away from self-seeking community. I say supernaturally because you can't do this in your own strength. That's not natural to you. You need to plead for help, the Holy Spirit. Your ability to turn away from your self-seeking nature that's God's work, and you need to plead with Him to help you. Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Do nothing from selfishness. What does he say there? Actually, do no one thing. Here's that repetition of that one. Do no one thing. No one thing. No one thing as a self-seeker is actually what he says there. No one thing as a self-seeker. So what's self-seeking community look like? Can I give you two broad ways of thinking about this? I belong because I fit. I've found others who are like me or who are in my life stage, who share my same struggles or who I fit. I fit because I've found the plus. That's why I fit. That's self-seeking. That's about you. And it denies the realities that we just talked about that you share in common with every other believer. Or, I do not belong because I do not fit. I haven't found others who are like me or who understand me or who... Listen, brother or sister, if this is you, you're just as self-seeking as the one who has found it. I know that's hard. I know that's hard. I love you. I want what's best for you. And what's best, what Jesus holds out for you, is not a self-seeking community. He holds out something to you far greater in precious value. He holds out Jesus to you. Seek Him. Seek Christ. And seek to give Him to others. Don't seek yourself. Jesus says, if you want to keep your life, lose it. Give it away. What greater commonality could you have than what you share in Christ? So you need to ask yourself this question. Am I looking for a gospel community or am I looking for a plus community? Are you looking for the kind of community where people are going to bring truth to you? Are you looking for the kind of community that people are going to bring the hope of Christ to you? Let me press a little bit further. What forms your conversation? No, I don't mean like around the periphery. I mean at the core of it. When you get together with coffee over a friend, with a friend, or you meet together, what forges that community with you, with those people? If they're believers, do you understand that we have something in common to forge a community around that is absolutely unbreakable and eternal? And we can talk about that and delight in that together and rejoice in that together. Is it okay to talk about what happened in the football field yesterday with the Cornhuskers? Absolutely. Enjoy having that conversation. It won't be a very enjoyable conversation, but you can have it. But listen, what really sits at the core of your heart and your desires? How do you pursue community? Supernaturally turn away from self-seeking community, but also supernaturally turn away from self-promoting community. How does that show up there. He says, no one thing as a self-seeker, no one thing according to empty conceit. And actually that word there, empty conceit, literally is vainglory, empty glory. It is empty self-promotion. It is empty, look at me, look at me. And we form communities around that, don't we? Listen, I love sports, but isn't sports by and large oriented around, look at me? Self-promoting community, what does that look like? Let me give you two ways. I belong because I know the information and I'm able to answer the questions and feel good about my contributions. I go to Bible study and I'm there because I get a high from it because I've added something to it. I knew the answers and I was there and I feel good about what I could do. I actually meet with my friend because I have good counsel to give that friend and I feel good when I leave. I don't belong because I don't know the information and I'm unable to answer the questions and I don't feel that I contribute. Kelly, are you saying that that's self-promoting community? I am. That's just as self-promoting as the one who's actually self-promoting. Because actually what you're saying is I really wish I could be that other person. And because I'm not, I don't want to be embarrassed by what I don't know. And so I won't make myself vulnerable. I won't let you see that I don't know the answer to that question because that won't make me look good. What do both of these people need? Supernatural humility. Let's lean into that a little bit more. How do you pursue community? Supernaturally embrace the others are better attitude. Supernaturally embrace the others are better attitude. No one thing as a self-seeker according to empty conceit, but with humility of mind. With humility of mind. By the way, the humility that he is speaking of here is supernatural humility given to you by Christ. But you must seek it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Regard one another as more important than himself. So this humble person of mind regards others as more important than himself. We could actually literally say, regard one another as better than or surpassing yourself. That word there, better than or more important, is surpassing. Regard one another as surpassing you. But they're not. Regard them as they are surpassing you. What would a community look like where everyone considered everyone else with a better than me attitude? What would it look like to have community where I come into it and I say, man, I'm like the lowest on the low totem pole here in this community. Everyone else here is better than me. They're more spiritual. They're better. They're surpassing me. What would it look like in a community to come in with a humility of mind to say, man, in me, I'm broken. I'm a mess. You knew me, you'd know how that's true. And I'm going to live in that. I'm going to live in that brokenness. And I'm going to look at you and I say, praise God, he's at work in your life. And I'm going to change my heart attitude toward you and not look down at you. Finally, supernaturally love others. Supernaturally love others. Regard one another as better than yourself. And do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Jesus assumes you're going to look out for your interests, and you should. But listen, you need to look out more for the interests of others and put their interests before you. Supernatural love is a passionate pursuit of the best interests of others, knowing that their best interest is found in Christ. To love you is to desire that which is good for you. That's what it means to love you. To love you is to have in my mind a passion for your best interest. It is self-denying and others lifting. And I know that what is best for you, what is in your very best interest, what is the greatest good that you could ever have is found in Christ. And so love is going to move me to share him with you, to hold him out to you and say, let me help you understand what it would mean to know him, to delight in him. The foundation of your love? Well, Paul helps us. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being made in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Christ set himself aside for you. He humbled himself. He did it ultimately by death. That death was on a cross. The most horrifying way to die, the most wicked way of executing someone, and he died for you. And it's that. You're only able to live out the realities of the gospel community because this Jesus is in you. That is, if he is. If this Jesus is in you, that Jesus who humbled himself and emptied himself of the glory that he had with the Father and took on the likeness of a slave and was beaten and ridiculed and suffered and died on a cross, that Jesus, that lover of your soul, that one who gave everything for you that he could give, that Jesus dwells in you. That Jesus unites you to the person sitting next to you who's also in Christ. That Jesus holds us together. That Jesus forges the community. That Jesus maintains the community. That Jesus exalts the community. That Jesus moves the community. Why do we need the plus? We've got Jesus. The love found in the gospel community is supernatural. Love that is found in the gospel community is supernatural love. And yet Jesus says this, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another." When the world looks in at the community, what do they see? Do they see the plus? Do they see a community formed around quilting clubs? Do they see a community formed around projects? Do they see a community formed around trouble? Do they see a community formed around plus? Or do they see a community of people who love one another supernaturally across every single boundary barrier that we have in our culture? Age and socioeconomics and education and background and ethnicity and language. Tall, short, smart, not so smart. Like me. Right? Love that is supernatural. Where the community looks in and says, "Whoa, that's weird. That shouldn't happen." That's how they're going to know that you're a disciple of Christ. That is, if you have supernatural love of Christ for one another. A couple of closing questions for you. I know for some this may be a kind of message. Here we go. What would happen to your community if the gospel were removed? Would your community fall apart? Would your community crumble? Or would it just be fine? Will the community you're seeking be capable of ministering true hope to you in the difficulties of your life and especially in your death? We don't want to think about death, but listen, every one of us in this room is going to face death. We're going to face it with others. And finally, we're going to face it with ourselves. I want to ask you, is the community you're counting on, the community you're forming, is that community going to minister to you the kind of hope you will need in that moment? Only gospel community can do that. Where are we at? We need a gospel clock. You know what? We're gonna take just a moment, and Adam, I'm still gonna have you come up. In fact, if you would here in just a moment, if you'd make your way up with the team and get set. But while they're getting set, can I just ask that we just quietly reflect for a moment? Let's keep these questions up on the board, and I just want to take a moment and quietly reflect, and then Adam and the team are going to lead us in a final song, and then I'll come back up with some closing comments. Let's take a moment and reflect.